John, good morning. Thank you for joining us. I'm pleased to once again start out this morning with an opportunity to bestow our customer service award onto some very deserving state employees. And joining us this morning are two outstanding state employees from the Motor Vehicle Administration. I want to welcome Natasha Jones and Jessica Menkos. Ladies, if you could just come up to the podium, please. We want to say something nice about you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Natasha and Jessica went above and beyond the call of duty in responding to a request for a photo identification card. MVA received a request from an elderly customer who recently moved to our state. She needed an identification card to access her medical benefits and her other state services. And this customer lives in a nursing home and was unable to visit the local MVA office. However, Natasha and Jessica collaboratively developed a new process to bring the MVA to the nursing home. And working together, they visited the nursing home, took the customer's photo, captured her signature, and then verified her identity. And MVA's technology team then took the information that they gathered, created an identification card, and got it back to the customer. So I just want to say that Natasha and Jessica have set an outstanding example of just the type of customer service that our administration strives to provide to our citizens, and I want to give them both a big, big round of applause. Mind coming around this way, we'd love to present you with some citations.
Could I just
add something? William Donald Schaefer used to tell us, and he's absolutely right, that everyone we work for is a person. There are some people who love humanity, but they don't like people very much. And this sort of public service, where you recognize that the person you're dealing with is a real person and has a real problem, and you're there to solve it, not just to hide behind rules and protocol, is just terrific.
Absolutely. Thank I agree you. With that. Thank you. Any other further comments, Madam Treasurer, about anything this morning?
It's a great morning.
Great morning. Mr. Comptroller.
Thank you, Governor. And Natasha and Jessica, could I get your business cards?
You can't steal them.
I'm sure I have a hard time getting MBA, too.
So I know, folks, it's a day early, but Governor Annie and I wanted to wish you a very happy birthday and many more years of good health and happiness.
Thank you.
And
Let's
let summer be summer with Fishers.
Well, let's go ahead and get started. Yep. It's going to be a nice Board of Public Works.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. That was very thoughtful.
From a loose cannon.
I don't know if I'm going to drink all of them during the meeting, but I'll probably get to them.
Well, we have a partnership that your Office of Tourism and your Agriculture Department and your Commerce Department helped a lot with, and it's actually related to the gift. It's called the Maryland Baseball and Brew Scorecard. We announced it yesterday, a collaborative initiative celebrating Maryland's proud baseball history and heritage, as well as our incredibly talented craft brewing community. We're home to numerous outstanding baseball teams, as everyone knows, particularly the Orioles, but we have also six minor league professional teams in different regions of the state. We also have college baseball teams and our vibrant youth baseball systems. We're also home to some of the world's best craft breweries, and each of them are producing top-quality craft beer that supports good-paying jobs and generates millions of dollars in tax revenue and $500 million a year in economic activity, headed for $1 billion a year in economic activity. The Maryland Baseball and Brew Scorecard is a great way to showcase our baseball heritage and terrific breweries and will allow baseball and craft beer enthusiasts to explore new places and discover great sights and tastes. I encourage everyone to fill out their scorecard and support this exciting new initiative, which directly benefits our craft brewers and local communities. And, Governor, also this afternoon, my reform on task force, which your Commerce Secretary is one of our 40 members on, will hold its first meeting at the Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. And, as you know, Maryland has some craft beer laws. I'm not going to read what was written for me because it's too negative. Well, they're just slightly off a little bit, and we're going to correct them and over the next several months.
Your staff wrote something more negative.
But I'm going to suggest that, Governor, I know you're a big supporter of this wonderful sector, which is every one of the 80 breweries tends to be a family-owned, entrepreneurial, innovative, nimble, millennial-type group of individuals, and I salute them. And Maryland's beer laws could be a lot more pro-business, pro-consumer, and pro-growth. So I look forward to working closely with you and the legislative leaders and members of the task force and all the stakeholders. We have the wholesalers and the distributors and the retailers. Everybody who is concerned here is on this task force. And we hope to be able to suggest that the legislature remove statutory and regulatory hindrances to the growth and success of our state's craft brewers. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you. I want to thank the Comptroller for taking the leadership role on this issue, and I agree with him completely that we were doing so well with the expansion of breweries and distilleries and wineries across the state that adds so much to our economy and tourism and everything else, and I think we made some mistakes with this bill in the legislature, and hopefully you and your task force will come up with some remedies that we can get it fixed next January. So thank you.
The governor has visited most of these breweries, along with me. I know it's a tough job that we have, but someone has to pay attention.
How many are there? 90? 80?
So some of them are big, like 100,000 barrels a year by a Flying Dog, and some of them are tiny. But all of them have great potential, and they just want to make beer and sell it. And we
some of them require us to taste each one of them. All different kinds of beer. We try to get out there and support them as much as we can. I guess we'll go ahead and get started with the Secretary's agenda.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. We have 9 items on the Secretary's agenda this morning. We have 2 reports of emergency procurement. We're prepared to answer your questions.
Questions on the Secretary's agenda?
Item
Comptroller.
7 and 9.
Mr. Gorell is here from the Public School Construction Program. Bob Gorell is the Executive Director. Item 7 is the AG School Program for the coming fiscal year. And item 9 is also for the coming fiscal year, the Qualified Zone Academy Bond Program. These are 2 financial.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm here with Kim Spivey from my office.
Okay. Great. Thank you. It's my understanding that students in Baltimore County had to take the park assessment in 100-degree classrooms last week. Did you guys hear about that at all on Thursday and Friday? And
I had not heard about that, no.
So the fact that classrooms reached 100 degrees 3 days in a row in the middle of May shows that this isn't an issue that impacts students only a handful of days a year, as some have suggested. I would really be interested if you perhaps could request on our behalf or my behalf these scores that were earned by students who were sweating through their exams and compare that to the scores of students, the scores of students who actually were able to focus on the rigorous test in the type of classroom environment that all Maryland students deserve, which is basic air conditioning. With new leadership coming into Baltimore County, it's a good opportunity for the county and school system to take a moment to rethink its priorities. The issue of air conditioning is going to be a major issue confronting the next Baltimore County superintendent, whoever he or she is. It's a public health and safety issue, and it's a social justice issue. And while I'm pleased to note that some progress is finally being made as of late, thanks to the pressure, frankly, that we have put on the county, it's an issue that isn't going to go away as long as thousands of students remain in sweltering classrooms without climate control. So I sincerely hope that the $874,227 that Baltimore County is eligible to receive through the Aging Schools program will be used to install air conditioning units in schools that are years away from any type of relief, so we can finally solve a problem that has continued to adversely affect students, teachers, and staff for far too long. I'd note to the new leadership that because there is no local match required for Aging Schools projects, hopefully they will be a little more open-minded about how to spend this money. I had the pleasure of touring Colgate Elementary School in Dundalk last week in Baltimore County, where Principal Aaron DiCello is doing an absolutely amazing job creating a positive environment in a 93-year-old facility filled to the gills with kids, way oversubscribed. Why? It's a great school. 93 years old. But it's well below, as you can imagine, the quality that students and teachers there deserve. On Wednesday, it was so hot that students were in the main office seeking relief, since that's the only air-conditioned space in the school. Well, let's be honest. The faculty lounge is air-conditioned also, but the air conditioning was broke. So they were all complaining to the principal about the lack of air conditioning. So I can't even imagine what it felt like to be there on Friday. I was there on Wednesday. It was really hot on Thursday and then really hot on Friday. That school is the lowest rated facility on a capital basis of all the schools in Baltimore County. And fortunately, design for a replacement school is supposed to begin in the near future. But the study conducted by the Department of General Services in December 2015 showed that it would only cost $174,000 to upgrade electricity and install air conditioning units in Colgate's 18 classrooms to get their students and teachers for the next few years before the new school is built. That seems like a great CUSAB project to me, since CUSAB projects require 10% of the contributions to come from private entities. Seems to me it would be easier to secure donations for air conditioning units than intercom systems or lockers. I know PTAs in Prince George's County raised the money to install air conditioning units in Arrowhead and Melwood Elementary Schools in Upper Marlboro 13 years ago. And I know the parents and grandparents of Middleborough Elementary School in Essex were willing to donate both the units and labor 6 years ago. But the leadership of the Baltimore County school system would not allow them. Said, no, we don't want you to do that. I can't think of a better use of CUSAB funds than to install or replace climate control systems to provide the best possible outcomes for Maryland families. Bottom line is that there are funds available to provide relief and to solve this issue once and for all. With a change at BCPS, there's a new opportunity to demonstrate leadership here for the thousands of kids who desperately need relief. I'm hopeful that the new superintendent will hear the calls from parents and students, recognize this public health and safety issue for what it is, and demonstrate the will to solve it once and for all. So if you could help us with getting some comparative scores, see that. And seriously, I was told when I was there were 22 classrooms lacking air conditioning. That's all their classrooms. Mm-hmm. And I'm told by Caroline County, I could be wrong, that for $2,000, each classroom could get a brand new unit put in the wall. You do not need to upgrade electricity because these new units are super advanced and efficient as well as affordable. So 22 classrooms at $2,000 each, that's $44,000. If I were rich, I would write a check out to you. That's how unbelievably urgent it is. But maybe you can help us with this CUSAB money, convince Baltimore County to do the right thing.
Now, Treasurer members, I'll follow up and get back to you.
Thank you very much. Any other questions on the Secretary's agenda? Is there a motion to approve? Second? 3-0. Move on to DNR, real property agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Controller.
Thank you.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer. For the record, I'm Mark Belton, Secretary of the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, and we have 7 items on our real property agenda for your review this morning.
Questions on DNR?
No, but I just would like to note for the record, all around the state, I comment about how the Board of Public Works is keeping single bid contracts down, and I salute Governor Hogan and my colleague, Treasurer Kopp, because the number of single bid contracts plummeted in the last 2 years. Last year, we had 29 single bid contracts in the whole year. That's a third of what we used to approve annually. However, it's creeping back up. There are, including your agency has one, and there are several others on this calendar, including those three, we now are 24 for this year. And I hope that we can keep it down to 29 for the whole year and not go back to the old easy way, I guess. And so I'm going to vote for these contracts, but I hope folks keep as close an eye on it as possible, because I think it's a real feather in the cap for the board that we've been able to significantly reduce them and improve the transparency and accountability, and also tell the business sector that, yeah, it's okay to apply. We're not just going to give the contract to the vendor, to the incumbent vendor. Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. We have made a lot of progress. Thank you.
You have made a lot of progress. Thank you.
Second on the approval of DNR. No, 3-0 on DNR. Secretary Brinkley.
Good morning.
Report on DVM.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer. For the record, David Brinkley, the Secretary of the Department of Budget and Management. We've presented 10 items for your consideration. Item 10 is a supplemental request.
I believe we have Jody Berg signed up to speak on item 10.
Do you want to hear from agency first, or?
It's Department of Commerce, I believe.
Okay. Right, I know, but it's like, yes, so you'll be coming out. Liz Barnes, are you Liz Fitzwilliams?
I have Liz Fitzsimmons and Robert Carter Ward.
I'm sure they're coming right in. Mr. Perry,
they're right
here.
Okay.
Oh, there's Liz. Come on up. Step up to the podium, Liz.
Come on
down. Introduce yourself for the record. We have in front of you. Ms. Berg will follow you after you explain.
Okay. My name is Liz Fitzsimmons. Good morning, Governor, Treasurer, Controller. Thank you for your kind words on the event yesterday. It was a great time, and really being able to elevate tourism and craft breweries together, I think, is a win-win situation. I'm here to talk to you about the advertising contract for the Maryland Office of Tourism, and bringing that forth, we have selected Mariner as a...
Could you identify yourself in your position?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thought I'd done that. Liz Fitzsimmons, Managing Director for the Division of Tourism, Film, and the Arts. We're here to talk about the advertising contract for the Maryland Office of Tourism. It's a two-part contract. It has two functional areas, one for creative services and development, and one for media placement and the strategy behind those media placements. And the selected firm is Mariner Communications for both functional areas. It was a procurement that was set forth through our procurement office. We interviewed 4 firms for the media placement, 3 firms for the creative, and Mariner clearly did very well in both of them. They really showed a good strategic handle on how to manage our media strategy and placement evaluation, and really had a clear roadmap on how to deliver more customers to Maryland to take part in our tourism economy. Our tourism economy is generated at $17 billion a year. We just got our new numbers in. We have 42 million people visiting us every year. That's up 4%. I'd be happy to take any questions that you may have.
Any questions? I'd like to call up Jody Berg.
Good morning. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak regarding our concerns with the proposed award to Mariner Marketing for the media services contract. Nothing to do with the creative, just the media. I'm Jody Berg, CEO and founder of MediaWorks. We're located in Baltimore. We've been in business for 28 years, 33 employees who live and work in Maryland. We have $80 million in billings in Maryland and throughout the country. We're the current agency for the State Lottery and Department of Housing, and we handled the media portion of the tourism contract back in for 5 years between 2008 and 2013 with much success. In fact, a number of our strategies that we recommended back then are still being used today. In fact, MediaWorks was the lowest, most advantageous bidder on this current RFP. We were 24% lower than Mariner Marketing, so we really are concerned and have that question is how we not awarded this contract. Here's why the state of Maryland would be better served with MediaWorks as their media agency. First and foremost, we would save the state right off the bat $250,000 over the next 5 years. That's $50,000 a year, which allows more money to go back into the state advertising budget in order to bring more visitors to the state. We also know that tourism is a very competitive market, and we need every dollar possible to go back into the advertising budget as opposed to paying higher agency fees. Our agency is also active daily in the Baltimore, Washington, and D.C. areas, spending more than $30 million a year each year in those markets, which gives you leverage, clout, which equates to greater purchasing power, which is so important to the state, market knowledge, and endless market opportunities. Our competitor, who you would like to award this contract to, does not. In fact, we asked many of our media contacts across many media platforms, did they even know of Mariner Marketing in those markets? No one had ever heard of them, or their subcontractor, who we understand to be Spurrier Group. Maybe the Office of Tourism was not aware of this. In response to our protests, the reason the Department of Commerce recommends the award to Mariner Marketing, as Liz said, is they believed the price difference would be outweighed by more effective and efficient strategy and purchasing expertise. That's simply not true. If you're not active in negotiating in these markets and placing business in these markets, there's no way you can save $50,000 annually or anywhere near that. So you tell me who's going to get the better deals for the state of Maryland, the agency with $30 million worth of media clout and knowledge in these markets, or the agency who doesn't place any media in those markets. Anybody can say they can do anything when they're pitching a new piece of business. It's even more concerning that Mariner, is being recommended for the media function when they reached out to us and they asked us to be their subcontractor because they said they could not win on their own merit. In closing, as a taxpayer and a citizen of the state of Maryland, we understand how important it is to be fiscally responsible in everything you do. So awarding the contract to MediaWorks is the more fiscally responsive action, saving the taxpayers at least $250,000 just on agency fees, that's $50,000 a year, and having the best and most qualified agency handle the business. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. To Commerce, I'd like to respond to that.
As I said earlier, it was a transparent procurement process. There were five members of the panel. And Jody alluded to, we did work together previously, and I've known Michelle, one of the partners there, for more than 18 years. Throughout the process, Mariners, as I said, their clear roadmap on how to get to where we need to go was superior in presentation and delivery of their product, and all of the members of the committee, they were ranked second by myself and another, and they were ranked third and fourth by others in the panel. It was just the way the numbers came out. Yes, sir.
And they're both Maryland companies.
Okay,
but I think thank you for making the presentation. I thought it was excellent, and I hope down the road there is some more partnerships for, is it?
MediaWorks.
MediaWorks?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you made it terrific presentation. I hope that your services are taken advantage of by the state. I'm sorry that this is not going in your direction today, but that's, I think we'll defer to the tourism bureau because you are stating that it's worth the extra $250,000.
Yes. The committee felt that way, sir.
But there are also lots of opportunities down the road for other projects, and I hope MediaWorks is involved to the extent possible.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions on the DVM agenda? Second. Approved. Now we're going to move on to the university system agenda.
Good morning. Joe Evans, representing the University System of Maryland. We have six items on the agenda. Here to answer any questions.
Any questions on the university system agenda?
Not a question, but Joe, I hope you'll take back to your folks. I was at the opening of the St. John's Learning Center at College Park recently. You did a terrific job. I mean, that is just a great new building, which will make a big difference in the education of thousands of Maryland students.
I'll pass it on to College Park.
Yeah, thank you.
The other thing I just want to mention, if you stand there, Joe, that I reached out to Dr. Wallace Lowe, and I reached out to Bowie State University, and I believe that the entire Board of Public Works wants to extend our condolences to the tragedy that took place on the College Park campus, and let the entire system know that we're working very closely with them and with the investigation, and we want to provide any possible support we can, because these kinds of things cannot be allowed to take place in our colleges and universities. Any questions at all on any of the items? Is there a motion?
Thank you.
All passed. Thank you. We're moving on to information technology.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, I'm Michael Leahy, Acting Secretary of the Department of Information Technology. Today we have six items on the agenda, item six being a supplemental item. I have agency representatives here to answer any questions.
Questions on DO-IT? Is there a motion?
Second.
Rhea, we're going to go to the Department of General Services. Secretary Churchill.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer. For the record, I'm Ellington Churchill, Secretary for General Services. The Department has 16 items on our agenda, and we'll be glad to answer any questions that you have at this time.
Any questions on DGS? Motion? Second? 3-0. Yeah, I know. We didn't mean to skip over transportation.
Oh, I was all excited.
Yes, we did.
We want to save the best for last, and we'd like to hear from Mr. Port's best Department of Transportation's agenda.
Okay, good morning, Madam Judge, Mr. Comptroller, Mr. Governor. First of all, happy birthday.
Thank you.
For the record, my name is Jim Port, Deputy Secretary of Maryland Department of Transportation. Maryland Department of Transportation is presenting 19 items for your consideration. We'd be more than happy to answer any questions you may have.
I have no questions. Any questions of my colleagues?
Item 19 is anyone from MTA here? Oh, great.
Good morning, Mr. Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. I'm, for the record, Jim Knighton, Chief of Staff at Maryland Department of Transportation's Maryland Transit Administration.
Okay. So I understand this is a three-month contract to National Express Transit Corporation for local shuttle bus services.
Yes, sir.
And while the Baltimore Light Rail System has some maintenance done, specifically the rail replacement near the Mount Royal Station. So I just have a couple of questions. What type of vehicles are we talking about here? I'm wondering why we ended up with a single bid.
Yes.
From the company out of Warrenville, Illinois, to provide local shuttle bus service.
Yes, sir. This is the vehicles that will be provided are the yellow school bus type vehicles, the standard yellow school buses. This is the services that we're contracting for under this contract are similar to what we contracted for a year ago when we had a major three-week shutdown on our Metro subway system. And this is a difficult time of year to get charter bus companies to provide services. It's the summer touring season where a lot of the coach companies are already occupied with other work. And but it's also the best time of year for us to do the repairs, not only in terms of the weather and being able to do the construction, but the schools are not in session. So we don't have as many daily passengers as we ordinarily would. So it's those are the two factors that make this a difficult type of service to get a lot of bids on. And the contractor has to be able to provide the service on the same schedule as the light rail would be when it's ordinarily running, which is basically 5 a.m. to 11, 5 days a week. And then I think it's 10 to 11 on the weekends. Hours are a little bit shorter, but they have to run on exactly the same schedule. So it requires a lot of vehicles and a lot of manpower. And we just, when we went out to the market a year ago, we found the same thing. There just aren't a lot of companies that can do that.
So they're bringing school buses from Illinois?
They're bringing a management team from Illinois. I'm not sure where the school buses are coming from. But that's where the company is headquartered, yeah. I think they have operations around the country, so they're somewhere in the Mid-Atlantic region is where the physical vehicles are coming from.
So it doesn't strike you that there's a Maryland entity that could use Maryland school buses to shuttle these folks back and forth? And no one wanted to bid. Those school buses are just sitting in the parking lot.
Right, yeah, and we would love to find a Maryland company. I can tell you that our administrator and CEO, practically all our top executive management team, are veterans of the transit industry. So when this IFB came out, it was known, you know, in the industry throughout the region and certainly in Maryland, that MTA was looking for this.
So you could use school buses. You didn't have to use their charter buses.
Right, that's right.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that seems odd, but you mentioned the timing, which I take it is July 24th to August 17th.
Yes.
Did you guys schedule it just to have it be in the part of the baseball season? And also, I think the Ravens are having a preseason game mm-hmm. against the Redskins. I can't imagine that being anything other than hugely problematic if people are riding mm-hmm. school buses.
Yes, there are all kinds of events that occur in the summer in Baltimore that we had to sort of choose the lesser of not just two evils, but many evils. We have Artscape, we have Baltimore Pride, we have the African American Festival on one end of the summer. On the other end of the summer, from August into September, we have the State Fair, Fleet Week, and the Baltimore Marathon. So our service planners and our operations folks looked at that whole spectrum of events all through the summer, which you're absolutely right, sir. It does include seven Orioles games in that period and a Ravens game. And we tried to make the best decision we could to impact the fewest people. And so this is we're starting this right after Artscape. In fact, the Monday, the day after Artscape wraps up. So it's,
but people say to me, I'm not an expert on mm-hmm. the Baltimore Light Rail, but the only time anyone's riding it or when they're going to Camden Yards or M&T football stadium. That's it.
Well, we certainly carry more people for those events, and the contractor has committed to provide additional resources on those days.
Extra school buses.
Yes, extra buses. Yes, sir.
And you think that's going to work, that people are going to go to Hunt Valley, park their cars and get on a school bus and go down?
Well, they can ride the rail to the Central Business District, and then they would pick up the bus bridge, depending on what station that they get off at, and then they would ride down to Camden Yards on the bus bridge. I know it's not the greatest solution, but it's the best one we can come up with.
Well, I'm in a good mood because of the governor's birthday tomorrow, so I think I'll just take a pass on this. But it is a single big contract again.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yes,
so
sir.
Just look at this list.
Yes,
and
sir.
Realize that mm-hmm. despite the best efforts of everyone on this board, mm-hmm. we're slipping backwards on the single big contracts.
Yes, sir. I hear you loud and clear.
You get a freebie this time because it's my birthday.
Very good. Can I have one of your beers?
Yeah.
No, sorry. Any other questions?
Yeah, just so I understand. This is a 3-month contract, but mm-hmm. you're only planning on 24.
Yes,
maybe
for
31.
Yeah, it's
days.
About 17 days, I think, with another seven built in case there are weather delays. But the reason it's a 3-month contract is to allow time for payment of invoices. Sometimes they come in, you know, late, so it's to allow, you know, just payment of invoices and closing out
and,
the contract.
And once it starts, it will go for another 16 or 23 days, right?
Right. That's right. Yeah.
So it's a 3-week, potentially.
Basically, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Any other questions on the transportation agenda? Second. 3-0. We conclude today's Board of Public Works. Thank you very much. Thanks for the meeting.